Welcome to Pastor Goss Sunday School Class, a weekly gathering in the main fellowship hall of Faith Assembly, North Fort Myers, Florida, featuring the insightful and relevant teaching of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. Thank you for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
We're talking about standing firm. We've looked at Ephesians, so how we have to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. So what we've talked about is, what are those strategies? What is the devil doing? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul writes, I wrote to you as I did to test you to see if you'd fully comply with my instructions. It's not in your notes, but I've given it to you. And he says, when you forgive, I forgive. But he says, I want you to do this so that Satan won't outsmart us, because we're familiar with his schemes. So we don't give credit to the devil, but we need to understand how he operates. And we've been looking at Mark chapter 12, verse 30. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. All right? That's what we've been looking at. Notice once.
As I looked at this part, I was thinking of the song that says, "All to Jesus I Surrender." And the more I thought of it, the more I realized, the more all we give, the less there is for anything else. All really means everything. And as we can't just be two-thirds of a Christian, we can't be just a Christian on Sunday and be something else at work. We have to be all in for Jesus Christ. And I think more and more every day in my life, I've got to give it all to Jesus. When I wake up on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, no matter what it is, it's all for Jesus. And when it's all for Jesus, there's less for anything else. And so the more we give to Jesus, the greater our life will be, and the lesser will be for all these other things that we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's something I was
thinking. And so the way Satan operates is, if he can just get you from giving all, if he can get you to give 80%, then he's got 20%. And he'll take that 20% and work against you. Now, let's review, and I want you to see what's going on, because we've looked at heart, soul, mind, strength. First of all, heart. He wants you to love with all your heart. He's going after your heart. He does this to accuse you. He gets you to think bad thoughts about you. Guilt, insecurity, and inferiority. He gets you to think those thoughts, because God didn't create you to be guilty. God didn't create you to be inferior. God says, I've forgiven you. You're no longer guilty. God says, I didn't make a mistake when I made you. I gave you everything you need. I created you to look like you look. I've given you the gifts I want you to have. You have everything in me. I'm complete in Christ. But he'll do everything he can to accuse you so that you think you're not that good looking. You're not that able to do that thing. You've done this before. You shouldn't be doing that. And he accuses us. And what he wants to do is, you know, God can't use you. An indictment there. God can't use you like this. God will never. So if you're feeling insecure, you never want to do anything because you don't think you can, right? If you're guilty, you don't do anything because you think, well, I just can't right now until I get through this. Thus you hear people say, well, I'll accept the Lord when I get my act together. Okay, that's not going to happen. And so Satan uses those thoughts at your heart. And God says, I want you to love me with all your heart. And what you use is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, always interceding on our behalf. That I can take all my weaknesses and all my fears and all my failures to him, and he brings them before the Father, and he helps me be forgiven. Then he goes after your soul. So he will pick one of these. He doesn't go all four at once sometimes. Sometimes he just does them one at a time. All your soul. And what he deals with is your pride. Now, pride is, do you know insecure people have pride? They have pride in their insecurity because they always talk about it. Pride is anything that causes you just to think of I, me. It's all about me. And so he gets you to a place where you are independent of God's will. In other words, I'm free. I can do what I want to do. And so he works on that to get you to step outside of that, thinking, I know better, I know what's right. Well, I don't agree with that. Well, I don't like that. And our protection is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. That protection is God speaks to me and tells me no. Now, you've heard me say this before. Let me just say it again. You need someone in your life to tell you no. You don't know it, but that's why you got married. Okay? Way too many amens there. And so you need some people around you who don't always agree with you. But yet, what do? We just want to hang out with people who agree with us. And when someone disagrees with us, you're not my friend anymore. I'll go find someone who does and who is and who will just agree with me. And that's what pride does. And the Holy Spirit works in there to help us say, no, don't do that. Yes, do this. And you and I have to listen to him. Thirdly, love God with all your mind. So Satan attacks your mind. What's he do? He lies to you. Now again, it's not usually a bold-faced lie. Usually it's just a little twisting of the truth, like he did with Eve. Did God really say? He gets you to begin to question things. Well, I don't think they like me. I don't think they care for me. And you begin to believe a lie. Somebody looks at you the wrong way and you think something and you believe a lie because your mind thinks, oh, they meant to say this and they did this to me and they're working like this and this is the way it goes. And then you get all upset and offended and hurt, right? Because you believe something that isn't true. And when you believe things that aren't true, life gets really hard, doesn't it? And so he plays with your mind by lying because he doesn't want you to be able to do what God wants you to do. He didn't want Adam and Eve to have the freedom in the garden. And so what do we have? God's word. God's word tells me how to treat people. God's word tells me how to act. God's word even tells me how to think, doesn't it? And how to think about people. And so he goes after your heart. He goes after your soul. He goes after your mind. And Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love God, as those that with all. And whenever you don't do that in one of these areas, you're not able to be effective with God. Does that make sense? Questions so far? We good? All right. So we're going to look at the fourth one. Love God with all your strength. So Satan's prey is your strength. His prey is your strength. Oh, excuse me. Your body. Let me get to my notes so that my wife doesn't have to correct me and tell me no. Yeah, that's why I got married. What was I thinking? So his prey is your body, because the Bible says that your body is the temple of God, right? Your body is to be effective, working, you being used for God. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you at a high price, so you must honor God with your body. So I have to honor him with that. Now, I'm not going to go there. Never mind. God wants to use your body to represent him to this world. Well, I am going to go there right now. Okay. That doesn't mean, well, if I got to represent God with my body needs to look good. So therefore, I got to make sure I look like this. Okay. You know that if I... why did I choose to go here? Yeah. You understand, right? Good. Okay, I'm moving on. Romans 6:12. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. You no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. And so Satan will take whatever he can to get you to believe, well, it's my body. And he'll get you, well, then this body has to look like this and has to deal with this. That's not what it's saying here. It's saying, is your body, is God's temple, are you using it to honor him? Well, you can't honor him if you don't look like this. That's a lie. Okay?
It's also a relief.
Thank you. Okay? Oh, yeah. But, go ahead.
No, just think of Johnny Erickson Tata. She's a quadriplegic. She does not have a healthy body, but she uses what she has for the glory of God.
Right.
Touches many other lives.
Right. But I have heard these verses used for people to say, why am I going here?
Why?
I know why. Well, you need to be on this diet, because you got to honor God with your body. That's not right. Okay? I don't honor God with my body because it looks a certain way. I honor God with my body by the way that I live, not by the way that I look. That's a relief. Okay? I hear grumbling and mumbling, but I'll go on. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who said, let there be light in darkness, has made his light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We hold a treasure in jars of clay. Now, I like the modern term. There's a book written years and years and years ago. I think it's out of print. Might not be. By a guy by the name of Justin Cornwell. That was one of my. It still is one of my favorite books. And the title of it is this: we hold this treasure in styrofoam cups. Okay. And he brought it into the modern. In that day, clay jars were what styrofoam cups are to us. That cup is fragile. That cup has no value of itself. What makes that cup valuable is what's inside it. It has a use to be used for what's inside it. We hold this treasure in a styrofoam cup, these bodies. And so these bodies declare the glory of God. Romans 12:1. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So that I do understand that my body is to represent God. Now, again, I'm going to contradict myself, but I'm not. Just a heads up. I said before, you know, it doesn't matter how we look, and yet at the same time, I am aware that my appearance has an influence to others. And I want to make sure that my body does represent God in how I live and what I do with it, how I dress, how I operate, because I want to do it all for the glory of God. So it's a catch-22 in there to understand that, okay, I'm going to do this because I don't want to, you know, I want to represent God and I want to do that well, but I am able to do that because God dwells in me. And I want to honor him with the way that I live. So where you go does matter because your body's going there, doesn't it? So you and I have to understand Satan's prey, he's going after your body. Now, we good? All right. His procedure is suffering. Suffering. So what he will do, he will introduce pain into your body so that you will not use it for God's purpose. God is in control, but we control how we will respond to the things our body has to go through. Now, please hear me. We suffer sometimes simply because we're human. You get old, your body suffers. Okay? Can I get an amen there? All right? Things change, things shift, and we just go through that because our body has aches and pains. We suffer because our body has physical desires that are normal. And what Satan does is take these desires and manipulates them and changes them and causes us to fulfill those desires in inappropriate ways. It's an adult crowd. Sex is a God-given desire. And Satan wants to take it and cause us to use it in an inappropriate way. He does that with several things in our bodies that he wants to do that with. So he does that. Sometimes we suffer because we're being disciplined. Bible teaches that, doesn't it? We go through things because we're not right. Yes, ma'am. Okay, well, that tells us we don't have to listen to you. No. Go ahead. These four things are very difficult to separate. And many times it is a multifaceted attack. Because you can't really separate your mind from your physical being. You can't separate your mind from your soul. You can't separate all these things. They all work together. And so it comes out of certain ways. Your mind tends to be the focal point that all these other things go through. And so you and I have to understand, it isn't just one. Many times it's several. Now he will focus in on one. Easy illustration, Job. Satan goes to God and says, the only reason he's serving you is because he's got it so good. You let me touch him and he'll deny you. And God says, okay. Which I'd really like to understand that better. And so what happens? Satan, you know, just strips Job of everything, and he ends up in an ash heap scraping boils off his body. And his friends gather around him and try to give him advice. And his wife comes and gives him horrible advice. Curse God, die. What was the purpose? Satan was using that to get Job to give up on God. And that's how he operates. Now, was Job's mind in a difficult place? You bet it was. Well, was his heart struggling? Yeah, because he was thinking, what have I done to deserve this? He was feeling guilty. What was his soul there? His pride? Hey, I don't deserve this. And it goes through all of these things. So don't think that, well, he's after this time. And he might use that in an entryway, but it'll have an effect all the way through. It has a ripple effect through life. Yes?
He wasn't on a downward spiral.
Right. He was there because he was obedient to God. Now, that goes against our theology too, doesn't it? We tend to think, if I'm doing everything God wants me to do, I'll never have a problem. But you see, Satan doesn't give up on you. And he keeps going. Philippians 1:29. You have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. Hebrews 2:18, since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. So Satan does everything he can to bring pain to your body and to bring suffering there so that you will disobey God. Now, what's his purpose? Yes?
I'm curious. Satan obviously goes after Christianity. Are we the only people he's attacking?
In reality, we're the ones who kind of have to deal with this because we're in a battle with him. There's a war. People who aren't Christians, they don't care. He's already got them. He'll just keep them moving along. And so he hasn't quit. He keeps reinforcing where they're already at. So everyone has to deal with this. Yes?
Sometimes people who don't know the Lord, they have affliction and suffering, and that is the catalyst that brings them to God.
Right. Right.
In their life.
He can use that. But also at the same time, they can have it and it takes them farther away from God. That's their choice. So what is Satan doing? He wants to make you impatient with God's will. Now, let me just talk to you a little bit about this. I don't want to get into an in-depth discussion, but I do want to address it. When you go through suffering or when you have pain, pain is a fascinating issue. I've grown accustomed to it. I've learned how to deal with it. But here's the thing. When you have pain, what's the one thing you want? Relief. Now, that pain might be physical, but that pain can also be emotional. That's why we don't get along with somebody. I want relief from that. I'm leaving. And so there's all kinds of pain here that Satan uses. But physically, when we're hurting, we want relief. Let me take a pill. Let me do something. And so you have to understand, and I have to understand, that just because I'm having pain isn't a sign that I've got to get rid of it right away. Sometimes you have to learn to live with it. Paul had to learn to live with a thorn. Because you have to learn that God can help you. And so you want relief. And too many people, too many Christians, make horrible choices when they're going through a hard time. They just make horrible choices. Well, if that's the way you're going to be, I don't want nothing to do with that. Well, I just, God wouldn't make me feel like this, and God wouldn't do this to me. And we just kind of over and over and over again just kind of go, I got to have relief. Or we have pain, and I don't want to do anything. I'll withdraw. Let me just get under the covers and curl up in a little ball and not have to do anything. And sometimes, this is going to sound weird, relief is available, but we don't want it that way. You know, you've got this disease that's going on. Why don't you go see a doctor? Oh, no, I don't want to do that. Well, then die. Okay? Because, well, if God's going to do this, it has to be like this. And we tend to set parameters on this. Plus, when we're in pain, we tend to think nobody understands. Nobody knows what I'm going through, which is a lie, because the Bible tells us there's nothing that what isn't common to all of us. And so when you have pain, you have to manage it. That means you might have to take some medication. That means you have to keep your mind in control. That means you have to understand, what do I need to do to minimize this? How do I address this? You have to learn not to resent it. And so you've got to live with it. James 5:11. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job. a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. He had to endure, and he had to have patience. And so, James 1:2, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any way come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, same word there, needing nothing. And so you and I come to that place where Satan's going to do what he can to get us. Now, please hear me. Let's say you go to the doctor, and the doctor says it's cancer, and you're going to have to undergo treatment. Now, you can say, oh, it's Satan attacking me. But it might be, no, that's just the way your body reacted. You cannot give this, if it's this, then it's this. Now, you can know that when the doctor says cancer, what's going to happen? The enemy is going to be attacking your mind to cause you to think wrong, right? The enemy is going to be attacking your body because you're going to maybe suffer some. He's going to try to use those things, but you can't blame all sickness. Well, Satan's behind this. Sometimes, no, I'm just sick. Now, we like things more simplistic than that, don't we? And we'll talk about that when we get into how we battle all this stuff. But I have to understand this, that sometimes pain's just there. It's a part of life. It's a way of life. My body's getting old. I'm just old. Oh, my old. And the body says, yes, sir. Well, there's no doubt that we have this because of sin, because of Adam and Eve. There's no doubt that's where it come from. But now we live in this fallen world, and sometimes that's just the result of living in a fallen world. It doesn't mean that Satan's behind everything, but he will take everything, because in every battle you face, and it's been a long time, and I probably should redo it again. I think I did it in here. I think so. I did a little thing called, is it God, is it Satan, or is it me? And the answer is yes. Okay? Because in everything you face in life, is God in it? Yeah? Is Satan there? Oh, you bet. Am I involved? Yeah? And we like simplistic. If it's this, then that's Satan. If it's this, then that's God. And you just can't do that. Okay? Our protection. The imparted grace of God. The imparted grace of God. So, here's the guy we go to, Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. If I wanted to boast, I'd be no fool in doing so, because I'd be telling the truth. But I won't do it, because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life. There's my body. I want you to see it, or hear in my message. Even though I've received such wonderful revelations from God. Wow. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me and to keep me from becoming proud. Now, in that same verse, he mentions God and he mentions Satan, doesn't he? He mentions how God gave him something and Satan gave him something, correct? Both there. Three different times. Notice, it's not I ask. It's I begged. You see, when you're going through pain, you beg. I begged the Lord to take it away. And each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can work through me. It's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and the hardships and the persecutions and the troubles. Boy, I don't think too many Christians could say that's true about them. Verse 10, would you? For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. That's just incredible. He understood, God has done great things for me. And we all would agree with that, right? God's done some great things with me. At the same time, Satan's been there trying to get me to not enjoy what God has done and what God is doing. And what do? We beg God to take it away, don't we? God, please get rid of this. God, why do I have to suffer like this? God, why does this go on? Why me? Job went through all of that, didn't he? And yet, what's the thing about Job that stands out to us? Through all of that, through the advice of friends, through all the pain and suffering, he still says, I know my Redeemer lives. And I know that one day I'll stand. And I know God's going to be faithful. And I know that God's going to be true. Now, is that a battle of the mind?
Yes.
Oh, man. Is it a battle of the will?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it a battle of the spirit?
Yes.
Paul says, that's why I can rejoice. When I'm weak, God makes me strong. I don't have to moan and groan about it. I don't have to complain about it. Paul said, I could boast about all this, and I have a right to do it because it's the truth. But I don't need to. We'll just trust God together, and God will be faithful. And so Satan's trying to get you to feel sorry for yourself. Satan's trying to get you, well, I'm really hurting today. I guess I can't do anything anymore. And he wants you to quit and stop serving. Satan will do everything he can to get you to play the isolation game. Well, nobody understands me. Nobody's like me. I'll just go over here and eat worms and, you know, throw a party and feel bad for myself. And well, poor is me. And when Satan gets you to do that, he's won, hasn't he? At the same time he's doing that, God's there saying to you, look, I have available to you all the grace you need to get through this. I will give you all the strength that you need. Will you take it? Or are you going to listen to a liar? First Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Here it is. Stand firm. Have you noticed that being repeated? Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of issues you are. And in his kindness, yeah, it doesn't feel like kindness to me. God has called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you've suffered a little while, and how long is a little while? 100 years or so. He will restore, support, and strengthen you. Wow. And he will place you on a firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. Satan's looking for someone to devour. He's looking for someone he can get to. You know what? Curse God and die. You don't deserve this. No one understands. And he uses lies. And he gets you to blame yourself. Well, if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't be in this position. Well, if I had just taken care of this, I wouldn't be here now. And he just can't get you playing that cycle of games that keep you inactive, confused, injured, hurt, fearful. And you're still a Christian, but you have no joy, and you're ineffective. And he wins. Right? But we're not like those who aren't aware of his schemes. We understand how he operates. We know his methods. So therefore, we know how to fight. Psalm 119. My suffering was good for me. It taught me to pay attention to your decrees. Your instructions are more valuable to me than millions in gold and silver. What a great perspective in life. And so we serve this God who loves us and cares for us and says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power works best in your weaknesses. Why? What's he saying? Quit thinking you're in control. Quit believing you've got it all together. Quit thinking you have all the answers. Lean on me. Trust me. I will take care of you. I will provide what you need. Keep being faithful. Keep doing what's right. Continue to be obedient to what I'm telling you. Don't give in to your fears. Don't give in to your insecurities. Don't allow your heart to get all accusation against, I don't deserve this. I couldn't, you know, well, I just do this. I'm no good. I'm worthless. God's forgotten me. God doesn't understand. And don't let your pride get in the way of, here it is, I can handle this on my own. I don't need any help. Thank you very much. Is there anything we can do for you? Oh, no, no, no. I'm good. No, you're not. You're prideful. You don't want to ask for help. Well, I don't want to inconvenience anybody. So you're believing a lie. You see how this plays? It's so simple and so easy, isn't it? It's so natural, so normal for us. But too many times we fail to see Satan's part of it and God's part of it. And therefore, we're defeated. Still Christians. But spending our lives, oh, poor me, you know, nobody understands. We're alone because we choose to be. We're afraid because what could happen? What might the doctor say? What might take care of here? Satan says, you don't need anybody. You can handle this by yourself. Go off and be alone. And we allow all those thoughts that are negative, that are against what God teaches, and we allow them to have an influence in our life, and we end up wondering, God, where are you at? God, why aren't you doing this? And God says, I'm here all the time. I've got everything you need. But in order for you to have what I have available for me, you're going to have to quit believing the lies. You're going to have to let your pride go down. You're going to have to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And when we do that, we are effective for God, and we get to live hopeful lives. That's the battle that we fight every day of our life. But somewhere in this Bible it's written, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loves us. Amen. 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 Father, thank you for the confidence we have in you. Help us to live in that, I pray. In thy name, amen.
If you would like to hear more from Pastor Goss or the Ministry of Faith Assembly, please go to our website, faith.ag, or email Pastor Goss at phil@faithnfm.com. Pastor Goss Sunday School Class is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening.